Romans. And we're going to pick back up in Romans chapter 1 and in a few weeks, once we can get our children's worship back up and going, because we need to be able to walk through all of chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 together, and see all that God has to say in that chapter. And I would like it to be up to parents as to whether their children hear that from me or from them. So we're going to wait till we get Kid Rock, our children's worship, back up and going in a few weeks. We'll let you know when that's happening. And when we do, we'll jump back into Romans chapter 1, okay? So that brings us to Matthew chapter 11 today, verses 25 through 30. You guys ready to get in the Word? Good, me too. Matthew chapter 11, we have several things going on, but we're just going to focus at the end of this chapter to some statements that Jesus makes, really to everyone. And these statements are just as applicable to us as they were to the people that heard them firsthand out of Jesus' mouth when he said them. And so we're going to dive in. We're going to see what they mean. We're going to take two pieces of truth out of these few verses right here this morning. And we're going to really just, my hope is that, as always, when we dive into the Word, if you're a Christian, that we would be moved to just a greater love for our Lord. We would be moved to praise Him, to seek comfort in Him, perhaps called out of sin back to Him. And if you don't know the Lord, our prayer for you is that you would see Him in the Scripture we're looking at, and that you would come to faith and repentance today. That's our prayer for you. So as we begin, I want to read these verses, starting in Matthew 11, verse 25, and then I want to ask you to bow your hearts with me, and we're just going to ask the Lord to lead us through these verses this morning. Read with me. Matthew 11, verse 25. It says, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, we know many would love to be with us this morning, but they can't for one reason or another. And so, Lord, we lift them up to you, especially those who are physically ill or physically hindered from being here. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would minister to them with the truth of your word, that you would comfort them and bring them peace in whatever situation they find themselves in this morning. Lord, we also ask that you would teach our own hearts. God, I pray. I know just because we come into this building, it doesn't mean that we necessarily feel like worshiping and feel like opening your word. But Lord, I just pray that right now you would give each of us a desire to hear you in your word. And I pray, we pray, Lord, that you would do what only you can in our hearts today. God, we pray that as Christians, you would make us more like you. You would give us a greater desire for you. And Lord, if there's any among us or within earshot of us, Lord, we pray that you would lead them to repentance and faith if they don't know you, Lord. God, we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So there's a lot we can say from this passage. We're not going to say everything, But we are going to say two things, okay? First is this. Jesus knows you are tired and weary. Look at the first couple of verses. Jesus, he prays. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So there's a lot packed into these three verses, but the thing that's kind of covering all three of these verses is as Jesus prays, as he gives thanks to the Father, as he recognizes certain things that the Father's doing in the world and certain things that only he and the Father know and certain things that only the people that Jesus has given insight to know, the thing that's covering all these things is the truth of God's sovereignty. That he's in control and the things that are happening in the world are according to his will. And nothing that is happening in the heavens or the earth is happening outside the knowledge of God, the Father. Now, these first three verses may seem disconnected to the next three verses where Jesus says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, but they're not. They're intimately connected. Because our God is sovereign. He knows who are heavy laden. He knows who is tired and weary. And I would venture to say that in this room, there's not very many people, if any, that are not tired and weary in some shape, form, or fashion. And so I just want to point out from Scripture this morning that Jesus knows that. He knows you're tired. He knows you're weary. And he doesn't just know that you're tired and weary, he knows why. And we could replace those words, tired and weary, with a lot of different words, right? For some of us, tiredness and weariness doesn't necessarily come out in the form of, man, I'm so tired. Some of it comes out in the form of, don't mess with him because he's tired. Right? Frustration. He knows what you're frustrated with. He knows the big things that are weighing on your heart. He knows the little things that make the big things heavy in your life, heavier in your life. You may say, well, so what? I don't know about you, but to me, man, it's great comfort. It's great comfort that the one who we stand and sing, how great is our God. And we prayerfully sing, Lord, I need you every hour. That one, he knows. He knows just how tired and weary you are, just how tired and weary and frustrated I am. He knows. There's a lot of comfort in that. And we'll see how that plays out in these verses. I don't think there's any reason for me to go down the list of 20 things, right, that might make us tired and weary. Yeah. We just are. And that's on top of just life in general. Like, just regular year stuff. The Lord knows all of them. And he's not just simply talking about the things in life that make us tired here. He's talking about those things and other things that might make us tired. the words he uses in verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That labor and heavy laden has, yes, a everyday sense to it, everyday, like, heavy laden, just life sense to it, but also has a religious sense to it. In fact, Jesus harkens back to this in Matthew chapter 23, when he's addressing the Pharisees, the really religious people of the time, the Jewish leaders who carried a lot of political weight, a lot of political power and control. And one of the ways they did that was they kind of stacked laws on top of God's law to, in the best case scenario, their intention was to keep anybody from coming anywhere near God's law. But in the worst case scenario, their intentions were just to control people and have power over people. And Jesus said this to them in Matthew 23, verses 1 through 4. He says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees, that's the religious leaders I was just speaking of, sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. Jesus uses kind of agricultural imagery here of the Pharisees loading up the average Jewish person with heavy burdens. He uses ag imagery. These words that Jesus has used would have put in, and we'll see this much clearer in a moment, of like oxen that are used to plow a field, and they're loaded up with a yoke, a piece of wood that goes across the neck of two oxen side by side, and then they're loaded up with the weight of a plow to pull and to plow, or to pull something on wheels. So they're heavy laden. They're loaded down with heavy burdens. And he says that these religious leaders are doing this to the everyday person. They're loading them up with religious duty and religious burdens and religious weight. Yet, they don't practice these things. And they don't even lift a finger to help the people that they're loading up carry those things. And so we need to say, when we say that Jesus knows that we're tired and weary, yes, he's talking about everyday life. Yes, he's talking about raising children. Yes, he's talking about just growing up in this world with the problems that we face and the challenges we face, whether it be family or business or personal health issues. And yes, he's talking about the problems that 2020 brings us and all its vast array. But he's also talking about and pointing to the fact that many have religious weight on their shoulders that does not belong there. Jesus says, I know you're tired and weary. Come to me. Religious weight looks like religious duty, things you feel you must do, not out of love and gladness and joy, but things you must do out of guilt or obligation. Religious weight looks like guilt and shame from sin. Maybe you've been there before where your good works in your life weren't driven by your love for the Lord, but they were driven by trying to cover up the sin in your life. Like, maybe if I do this enough and long enough, at some point in my life, I won't feel the guilt from the way I used to live. That's a heavy burden to carry. It's a burden that Jesus doesn't want us to carry, frankly. And he knows if you're carrying that kind of weight, he knows that you're tired and weary. That brings us to number two. You guys still with me? Read verses 28, 29, and 30 with me one more time. Come to me. This is Jesus speaking to the crowds. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So not only does Jesus know that you're tired and weary, but Jesus promises to those who come to him, he promises to give them rest and help. And say that one more time. To those who come to Jesus, Jesus promises to give them rest and help. Verse 29, he says, you will find rest for your souls. Don't raise your hand, but I bet if I asked you to raise your hand, there'd be a good many people that if I asked the question, is your soul tired? Some of us, at least some of us, would raise our hand and just be like, yeah, like I got plenty of rest, sleep last night, but man, I'm just weighed down. I'm tired. Jesus says, come to me, I will give you rest for your soul, and I will help you. You guys know that feeling after a long day of work? Maybe it's the good kind of work, like you got some things done. You can look back over the day, like you can look out in the yard and be like, that grass was tall, now it's nice and clean and cut. That kind of tired. And at the end of the day, your belly's full and you lay down on that mattress, on the pillow that's not too firm and not too soft, and the house is nice and cold. And you get up under those covers and you're like, yes, this is it. This is rest. Physical rest, but rest nonetheless, right? Jesus is promising those who come to him that kind of rest for their soul. It's hard to even comprehend, isn't it? Let's talk about what it's not. It's funny. When you talk to somebody from another religion, and you talked about what they must do. You ask them what they must do to get to heaven. They're going to give you some set of things that they must do to get favor from God and earn their way into heaven. So if you talk to the Muslim, a Muslim will give you a list of things that they must do, and then they'll say, and generally be good in your life, and God may show you mercy, and you may get to go to heaven. Even if you talk to the person who grows up in the Bible Belt who thinks they're a Christian because they went to church with their grandma and they're like, yeah, everybody's Christian around here, I'm a Christian. What must you do to be saved? Well, I'm a good person. I don't do this list of things, and I try to do this list of things. I try to treat people the way I want to be treated. It's the same thing as a Muslim. It's just a different list. It sounds a little different. It looks a little different. Some of you know this because you've lived this way prior to coming to Jesus. But that's a heavy burden. To say, my eternity and where I'll spend it, heaven or hell, rest on my shoulders. And every day, I have to live up to a particular standard. And before I die, and I don't know when it's going to be, I have to get certain things done in my life so that I'm good enough. And you wake up every day with that burden. And on any given day, you can make a decision in anger or some other emotion and lose it all and have to start over. That is a heavy burden. But Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Again, go back to that agricultural picture. Some of you know this because you've seen it firsthand, but in case you haven't, a yoke is a piece of wood, usually, that's kind of shaped like an M. And in the first hump goes one oxen, and in the second hump goes another oxen, and together they pull weight. They do work. They carry burdens together. And Jesus says, it seems contradictory, I'll give you rest, take my yoke upon you. Like, wait, Jesus, are you telling me to work? Or are you telling me to rest? And the answer is yes. First, come to me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, my work upon you. And my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So not only does he tell us he'll give us rest, but he implies something else, that he'll give us help. It's two oxen pulling that burden. What Jesus is telling us is that he's right beside us, pulling it with us. In fact, carrying the weight of it. Two oxen. 1 week, me. The other, Jesus. He says, get up under my yoke. I'll give you rest. My yoke is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. All of a sudden, when you see Jesus on the other side of the yoke, it makes a little bit more sense. He's telling you, keep going forward. Keep doing the work he's called you to do. But first, come to him and get up under his yoke. This is the amazing thing about Jesus. In fact, this is the gospel, right? That Jesus has called sinners to himself. As they are. And he's come to sinners. And he's carried the burden of living a perfect life, being tempted in every way we are. And then he carries the burden of our cross, dying in our place, the death we deserved for our sin. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead so that we as sinners can come to him and get up under his yoke because he's done all the work. Matthew 23, verses 3 and 4, Jesus says about the religious leaders, he says, for they preach, but they don't practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. If you're a Christian here today, you've come to that point in your life where you've placed fully everything on on Jesus, and you've realized, I can't do it. I'm a sinner. I can't fix my sin. I can't undo my sin. I can't do enough good to wash away my sin. Only Jesus did, and only Jesus can, and so I'm coming to Jesus and giving him my life. If you've come to that place in your life and you're a Christian, there's a chance today that you've still become tired because of the weight of this world and because you've forgotten that Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I just want to remind you, I want to let Scripture remind you and me both that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You can rest in him. You can rest in him. And the only way this works is every day. Get up and get up under his yoke and rest in him. Allowing him to carry you through the day. Get up the next morning and do it all over again. Get back under his yoke. The problem is most of us get up and put on some other yoke. And we work all day, every day. And we go, I love Jesus. He's good, but I'm tired. It's because we're putting on the wrong yoke. Or we put it on 5 days ago, and we didn't put it on today. His yoke. So Christian, if you're tired, I just want to encourage you. Like, just start every day. Jesus, I don't know exactly how to put on your yoke, but I pray that you would help me to do that. And I know that when I walk through this day by the power of your Spirit, whatever you call me to do, I'll be able to because you're right here beside me. If you're not a Christian and you're with us today or listening to us today, I just want to say this. Like, this is what makes Jesus different. This is what makes the gospel good news. We don't have some special yoke and it's the only one that gets you to heaven and you do all the work by yourself. We say no. Any yoke you put on and you try to carry by yourself, you won't get there. The only way that you're going to get to heaven is if you put on Jesus' yoke and he's already done the work. So come to him. He knows you've worked. He knows you've tried. He knows you're probably tired, weary, and frustrated. He knows. Just come to him. Trust him. Stop doing the work on your own. Trust him. His perfect life, his death on the cross, his resurrection. Give your life to him. He will give you rest for your soul. That's good news for the non-Christian, and that's good news for the Christian. Amen. Christian, if you're laboring in your own strength, man, find comfort today in Jesus. Find rest again today in Jesus. Not that you've lost your salvation, but maybe you just forgot where your rest comes from. Come back to him. If you don't know the Lord, we invite you to come to him today. We want to show you in the Word what it means to give your life to Christ. You can come forward as we sing. Come find one of us, one of the Christians you know in this room, myself, or someone else that you know follows Jesus, and say, will you show me how to trust Jesus with my life in his word? And we will say yes, and then we'll do that, okay? Bow your hearts with me. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, you took your sin upon yourself, our guilt, our shame, the burdens that we should be bearing, you took them all upon yourself and died on the cross in our place. But Jesus, 3 days later, you rose again, achieving victory over sin and death. And today we praise your wonderful name. Your name is the name above every name. Lord, every other yoke in this world is too heavy. Even the one, the narrow way, it's too heavy for us. But Lord, you have carried it, and you carry it for us now. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would help us trust you. That you would help us come to you. God, we thank you. We thank you so much that what you call us to, the yoke you call us to come up under, is easy, and the burden you call us to bear is light, because you are carrying it. Jesus, thank you so much. Lord, we praise you, our Savior. We praise you. God, do a work in our hearts that only you can, now and in the hours and days ahead. Amen.
Let us stand together. Let's sing the chorus together.